Just reminding you, December 22nd, Jiva Dharma.
Iti vigyaya rade tam nayamam charanantike. First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev, Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad, Astotra Satshi Shimad, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupad, Astotra Satshi Shimad, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So we're continuing our study of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's transcendental literature called Sri Jiva Dharma, which Srila Gurudev explains gives the A to Z of spiritual life. Although it appears like a novel, with so many dialogues and questions and answers, which Srila Gurudev said we cannot even imagine asking these questions, what to speak of getting the answers from anywhere else. But it's not a novel, it's actual history of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after the Lord's departure, which appeared in the trance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just as the Srimad Bhagavatam appeared in the trance of Srila Vyasadeva, and then he wrote it down. So the two disciples, Brajanath and his uncle Vijay Kumar, had heard just a day earlier, a few days earlier, from their spiritual master, Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasai, about all the principles of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and now they're in the midst of inquiring about Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. Yesterday we discussed the definition of Rag, which is undivided absorption in one's own particular object of worship, and an intense hankering for that object of worship, Sri Krishna, which is saturated with prema. He also discussed, as we read yesterday, the difference between the qualification for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. The qualification for Vaidhi Bhakti is one whose faith is situated in the injunctions of the Shastra, and his devotion is based on fear, reverence, and respect for the Shastras and for the Lord himself. The qualification for Raghunuga Bhakti is the greed to obtain the association and the service of the associates of the Lord in Braj. And according to one's faith in either process, that determines his qualification. So today, Brajanath, the nephew, and his uncle is Vijay Kumar, he's asking, what is actually the process of Raghunuga Bhakti? And Babaji Mahasaya explains that one who has developed agreed to follow a specific servant of the Lord, according to the constitutional position or the swarup, the constitutional intrinsic nature of the follower. That gives him a greed to follow those servants of the Lord or associates of the Lord who are oceans of that mood for which the sadhak aspires. Also, part of the process, and then he meditates on the Lord's pastimes with that particular associate and tries to follow by internal service, meditating on the Lord's relationship with that servant and meditating on his own service to that servant in that service. Then he also lives in Braj. That's also part of the process. If not physically, then he lives there mentally. And externally, because Brajanath next asks, what is the relationship between the process of Raghunatha Bhakti and the principles that were mentioned in the previous chapter of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, that is the 64 limbs of bhakti, or the 9 principal limbs of bhakti, the 5 more essential principles of sadhana bhakti, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, offering prayers, worshipping, carrying out the order, becoming a friend, surrendering everything. So Babaji Maharaj says that the principles, that the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., are also included in Raghunuga Bhakti. He performs the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti with his external senses, like he's chanting. But his meditation is on the pastimes of the Lord with that particular associate that he wants to follow. So with his internally conceived form, he's following the practice of Raghunatha Bhakti and praying for the services of that servant of the Lord who is his own most worshipable deity. And externally, he follows the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti. For example, he does kirtan, he prays, he follows the codicil. So to an ordinary person, he'll look like a typical practitioner of Vaidhi Bhakti. The difference between Raghunatha Bhakti and Vaidhi Bhakti is that the faith in Vaidhi Bhakti is weak because it's based on the principles of rules and regulations, not spontaneous devotion. It's more in the head. And Raghunatha Bhakti is based on the principles of greed, and therefore the fruit is attained very quickly. Although it looks the same. Also, the subject matter that is chanted and remembered and heard, the prayers that are offered, may also be of a different variety in Raghunatha Bhakti. Or sometimes they may be the same, but the mood is different. And for this reason, since Raghunatha Bhakti, one develops a taste for Raghunatha Bhakti only when one is freed from material qualities. Therefore, Raghunatha Bhakti is very rare and also the root of supreme auspiciousness. So then Brajanatha asks, how many different kinds? Because Babaji ended his statement by saying, there are as many kinds of Raghunatha Bhakti as there are of Ragatmika Bhakti. Ragatmika Bhakti is the devotion that's practiced by the residents of Goloka Vrindavan, the particular services that they render according to their specific relationships. And Raganuga follows in their wake to achieve their service and their association. So he said there are many kinds of Raganuga Bhakti. So then Brajan asks, many kinds of Ragatmika Bhakti. So then Brajanath asks, what are the different kinds of Ragatmika Bhakti? So his Gurudev replied that basically there are two. There are many kinds because there's relationship of friendship, parent, servant, beloved, but they can be broken down into two, or condensed into two. One is called Kamarup, and one is called Sambandarup. And then there's one verse that he quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam's 7th canto. Many people have attained the supreme by complete absorption of the mind in devotion through lusty desires, kaam, envy, dvesh, fear, bhai, or affection, sneha, and by giving up faulty aspects of those sentiments. That is, the sentiments have to be totally in relationship to Krishna, not in relation to matter or material persons. And bhakti, meaning vaidhi bhakti. These are the six principles of moods that help one to attain perfection. Now, one of them is mentioned as sneha, or affection. There's two kinds of affection, or sneha. The first is associated with friendship in vaidhi bhakti, and the second kind is related to prema, which has no application in the field of sadhana. And therefore, sneha cannot be practiced in Raganuga bhakti. The word bhaktya, because this verse is spoken by Narada Muni to Maharaj Parikit, that bhakti is following the principles of vaidhi bhakti, and that's why Narada is actually basically a resident of Vaikuntha. You will see him chanting Sri Narayana Narayana Narayana. Although he also serves Krishna, he also serves Ram in Ayodhya. But he meant here vaidhi bhakti, which means devotion with knowledge of the Lord's supremacy. So that also is not applicable to Raganuga bhakti. Dvesh, or envy and fear, are definitely not in relation to Raganuga Bhakti. So the only two that are left, and there's one other which is those who want to attain perfection through the cultivation of knowledge and speculation, they attain Krishna's bodily effulgence. So there's no question of that in Raganuga Bhakti. So the only two of those six principles that remain to Raganuga Bhakti, which is the process to enter into Braj Bhakti, is calm, or what appears like lusty desires, and relationship. So the two kinds of Ragatmika Bhakti are Kamarup Bhakti and Sambandha Rup. Sambandha applies to relationship. Krishna is my son. Krishna is my friend. Krishna is my master. Whereas Kamarup Bhakti is only practiced by the gopis. And that is that type of bhakti that appears like lust, but it's not. It's amorous serving Krishna and amorous pastimes. And for that, there's two kinds of Kamarup Bhakti. One is Sambhogatmika, and one is Tut Tut Baba Ichchatmika. Sambhogatmika, Ragatmika Bhakti, is performed by those gopis who have a direct relationship with Krishna, like Radhika, Lalita, Vishakha, Chandravali. Whereas Tat Tat Baba Ichchatmika is practiced by those who want to serve the moods of those Sambhogatmika gopis. But they don't have, nor are they interested in having, a direct relationship with Krishna. They just have a desire to taste the sweet bhavs of those other gopis, and they serve them, and in that service, they taste their bhavs. Tut Tut Baba Ichchatmika, two chis, Ichchatmika. Called my manjaris, yes. Good. So the sadhan to follow those, the sadhan is called Kamanuga, which is the same as Raganuga. And Kamanuga can also be applied to Rupanuga. Rupanuga can only be applied to those gopis who are following Rupa Manjari and her associates, who are engaged in the performance of Tut Tut Baba Ichchatmika devotion. A lot of terms. But we do have to come to terms with it. So by seeing the deity and by hearing the sweet pastimes of the Lord's, the Lord in Braj with his associates, then one engages in Kamanuga and Sambandhanuga, Raganuga Bhakti. Again, Sambandhanuga is all the relationships except the relationship of the gopis. And the gopis have Kamanuga. So Brajanath asks, Krishna is male and the gopis are all female. So only females can have the qualification for Kamanuga Raganuga Bhakti. So how can a male obtain this bhava? In other words, how can someone who has a male form in this world aspire for a female form in that realm? So Babaji Maharaj explains, that there's two processes of Raganuga Sadhan Bhakti. One is external and one is internal. So externally, someone can have a male form and he's following externally the limbs of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And internally, he can have a spiritually conceived form of a gopi. He gives specific examples. Hare Krishna, Swagatam. He gives a specific example of the Dandakaranya rishis or sages who had a desire, who were performing Raganuga Bhakti for thousands of years, performing great austerities. And then they were in Dandakaranya forest where Lord Ramchandra was, yes, where he was performing his pastimes of exile with his wife Sita and his brother Lakshman. So when these sages beheld the beauty of Lord Ram, they prayed to him that they could become his wives. So he told them that in this incarnation, I only have one wife, and I only want to have one wife, Sita. That's my particular dharma as Lord Ramchandra. But when I appear later on in Dwapara Yuga as Krishna, then you'll all be able to be my consorts. In Vrindavan Dham. So all of those sages attained gopi forms in Gokul. So then Vrajanath asks another question. We've heard that all the women in Gokula are Nitya Siddhas, eternally perfect beings, who appear in Braj to give nourishment to the Leela of Radha and Krishna. So, if this is true, how can we reconcile this with the history in the Padma Purana about the Dandakaranya rishis who attained this position by Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti? They weren't Nitya Siddhas. They attained Braj. They weren't there always. Although once one attains Braj, he attains the same position and there becomes no distinction between he or she and one who was eternally perfect and was never in this material world. So Babaji Mahasaya said that there was two kinds of gopis. There were those who attained their gopi forms by practicing sadhana, and there were those gopis who were expansions of Radharani, and they're called Kaya Vyuha, or expansions, or Nitya Siddha gopis. And when Krishna played his flute at the commencement, before the commencement of Rasa Leela, those gopis who had attained that form by sadhana were not completely ready, not sufficiently trained due to insufficient association with the Nitya Siddha gopis. And therefore, when Krishna played his flute, they were checked, stopped by their husbands and other relatives, father-in-laws. And then, feeling the fire of separation from Krishna because they couldn't leave, That fire of separation burnt up any of the obstacles to their attaining Krishna's association. And either they went later on that same night to join Ras, or at a later date. So those who are Kayavyuha expansions of Radharani, they are Swarup Shakti, Tattva. They're not Jivas. And those who are attain that position of gopis by sadhana, they're sadhan siddha jivas. And because they've taken shelter of Ladini Shakti, Swarup Shakti, Srimati Radhika, they now are imbued with the same qualities as the Nitya Siddha gopis. Those who follow sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, they may attain, or some mixture of vaidhi and raganuga, raganuga with some aishwarya, they will attain to be servants of Krishna's queens, maid servants of Krishna's queens, in Dwarka, but they cannot attain Braj. Only those who follow in the footsteps of the gopis can attain that position. Even Lakshmi could not attain that position because she couldn't fully follow the principles of the gopis. Now Brajanath is asking, how can one fulfill the desire for enjoyment? And Babaji Maasai replies, those who have the mood of Krishna's queens desire to give up the quality of shamelessness and engage in Krishna's service just as a housewife. They don't want to serve like the gopis. And Brajanath asks more specifically, because they have a certain constitutional position. There's some reverence there, as a wife has some reverence for her husband. Plus, sometimes, especially when Krishna exhibits his forearm form, sometimes they have some knowledge that Krishna's God also. He's God and he's their husband. Just like Vasudeva and Devaki, they have some conception that Krishna is their son, but some conception that Krishna is God. Therefore, the queens are not fully in Madhurya Ras. They're not fully in conjugal Ras. There's some Dasya Ras there. What to speak of Sita in Ayodhya, she's in Dasya Ras, even though she's Ramchandra's consort, because of all the awe and reverence, submission. So he's saying that the queens they cherish the position in this sadhana bhakti called Mahishi Bhav, is the sadhana bhakti that one performs in order to attain Krishna as a husband. And this is called swakya. When one attains Krishna as a husband, it's called swakya bhav, as opposed to parikya bhav, which is the mood of being Krishna's paramour rather than his lawfully wedded wife. And the mood of parakya or paramour is many millions of times higher, because it's causeless and it's there's more risk. And one gives up more. She gives up her shame, her sense of consideration of what society thinks. She gives up her faithfulness or chastity to her husband, which is considered in Vedic culture to be the highest emblem of a woman's glory. So then Brajanath says, by your mercy I've understood this point. And when these disciples, as we read yesterday, when they received Harinam and Diksha initiation from their Gurudev, Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasai, they immediately got visions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. That is, Mahaprabhu and his associates immediately appeared there in their initiation ceremony with their big kirtan party. And streams of tears flowed down the newly initiates' eyes, and they immediately experienced transcendental ecstasies. This is a real diksha. This is a real disciple. This is real diksha. As opposed to the anusthanika diksha, which is just going through the motions as an encouragement, which is what most of us down here have taken in this birth. In some future birth, it can be Vidva Viruti Diksha, which is that initiation that was taken by Brajanath and Vijay Kumar. So when they said to him that now by your mercy we have understood this point, they mean that they've really realized it. Now please explain the difference between kaam, or material lust, and praying. And also the difference between spiritual kaam and praying. Because aren't they supposed to be one? So what's the difference? Kaam is lust, or transcendental love to fulfill all the Lord's desires for amorous loving affairs. So if these two are non-different, then can't prema-roop be used instead of kama-roop? Because the word kama sounds somewhat harsh because of the connotation in this material world where it's the most degraded thing. It's like if you have a tree and the tree is, you know, standing upright, and then you have the reflection of a tree in a muddy river. Everything is upside down. So in this material world, which is just like a muddy river, lustful relations are considered the most abominable activity. Whereas in the real tree, they're the most elevated and pure, higher than mother and father, which is the most pure in this world, higher than friendship. And mother and father and friendship is included. All the moods of mother and father and friendship is included within the mood of Madhurya Ras. So Babaji Mahasaya explains that there is some difference between kaam and prem. Prem is the same as sambandha roop, or all the other relationships, friendship, servitorship, and parental, anything other than gopi relationship. Prem is the same as sambandha roop and ragmai roop. Ragmai is any of the relationships. So in one sense there's no difference between the two. In sambandha roop there's no kaam. There's no desire to fulfill Krishna's amorous desires. There's no desire for sambhog, for that kind of amorous relationship. So kama-roop bhakti is not present in any other of the rasas, And therefore you cannot fully equate frame with calm, with spiritual calm. Although the other rasas are within calm, calm is not within the other rasas. Just as ether, air, fire, and water are in earth, but earth is not within ether, air, fire, and water. Calm in the material world, or lust, takes the form of sense gratification. And it's different from the transcendental calm. The calm in this world is a perverted reflection, as we just mentioned about the tree. The tree's reflection in a muddy river has no substance. The only substance is muddy water. So if I want a fruit or a flower from the reflection, I'll only get muddy water. So there's no fulfillment here of that desire. Babaji Mahasaya explains that even Kubja, who had some amorous affair with Krishna when he first came to Dwarka, her relationship also cannot be considered as calm, because calm means the one-pointed, intense desire, absorption in the object of worship, and the unquenchable thirst to fulfill all of his desires, to associate with him, fulfilling all of his desires. Kubja's love, Kubja's attachment, is called a rati. Srila Rupa Goswami accepted it as rati, but not as kam. There are three kinds of rati. One is Kubja's rati. What is it called? Sadharani rati, which is that she desired amorous relationship with Krishna for her satisfaction. The only qualification, only good quality about her rati is that she had rati only for Krishna, not for Kamsa or anybody else. Then samanjasa rati, samanjasa rati, is found in the queens of Krishna. And their relationship is also not calm. They have a desire to please Krishna with amorous pastimes, predominantly, but sometimes they also have their own desire to fulfill. And then the gopis, who are the only ones who are kamatmika bhaktis, they have samartarati, which means their only desire, they have no selfishness. Their desire to please Krishna with their amorous service is totally selfless. And therefore, only their love can be called kamatmika bhakti, and only their love can control Krishna fully. So the kam in this material world is called jadiya kam. And that's why Prabhupada named me Jadiya Rani. It's only in relation to inert, lifeless matter. And it's based on personal sense gratification, exploitation. There's no service. In contrast, the calm within frame is full of pleasure, it's supremely valuable, and it's always joyful because it's only for giving pleasure to Krishna. And because it gives pleasure to Krishna, they experience, as a reflection of that, supreme pleasure. They experience, in fact, more pleasure than Krishna, that Krishna is tasting pleasure. When I was a young Bhakti Abhati in New York in 1967, me and Govindadasi were there as Prabhupada's two first artists. So Prabhupada told us, you two should have competition like Krishna and the gopis. When the gopis would see Krishna smiling, they would smile even more. And then Krishna seeing them smile, he would smile more. Then Radharani would see him smile, she would smile even more. And the gopis seeing her smile, they would smile even more. So seeing Krishna happy, they got more happiness. So in brief, Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya explained Kamanuga, Kamatmika Bhakti, or Kamarup Bhakti. And now Brajanath is asking, can you please explain Sambandharup or Sambandatmika Bhakti? And within Raghunuga Bhakti, Sambandhanuga, those who follow those devotees who are parents, friends, and servants. So Babaji Mahasaya explains, when bhakti is in the mood of being related to Krishna, just like the servants of Krishna, they're not really servants of Krishna, they're servants of Nanda Maharaj. And so their servitorship is mixed with filial affection. When the servants of Nanda Maharaj meet with Krishna, they'll put Krishna on their lap, play with him, smell his head. So it's mixed with parental love, it's not pure servitorship. And therefore it's called Sambandhatmika. The friends, that's also sort of a relationship. It's not, because there's no calm there, therefore it's in a relationship, a friendship. In Kamatmika Bhakti, there's also relationship in the sense that, this is a very interesting point, which Srila Gurudev explained in Brazil. There's some relationship. For example, Vishaka's mother has some relationship with Yasoda's relative, and this one has a relationship with that one. So the gopis are somewhat distant relatives of Krishna. And this is very considered a low thing, that it's bad enough that Krishna is going to dance with other men's wives. But if these other men's wives are also somewhat related, it's even worse. So therefore, there must be a controversy and a conception that Krishna comes from Mathura. Gurudev explained that there's a, I forget the name of the Samaj, but there are many sects in India who follow this, where they cannot accept the relationship of Krishna and the gopis. So the idea that Krishna came from Mathura makes it easier for them to accept. As Gurudev says, when Krishna does one thing, it accomplishes many things. So this is in relation to servitorship, Babaji Maharaj is explaining, sambandhatmika bhakti, or sambandharup bhakti. It relates to servitorship, friendship, and parental love naturally. I am Krishna's servant, Krishna is my master. I am Krishna's friend, I am Krishna's mother and father, those relationships. This is called relationship. The gopis had no relationship. It was an immoral connection, illegal connection. There's no bona fide relationship, legal or moral. Therefore, the risk is higher, the intensity of the love is higher, and the giving up of exalted Vedic character, that giving up is higher, giving up everything for loving Krishna. So Brajanath then asks, how does one cultivate Raganuga Bhakti in the mood of a servant, or the mood of a friend, or the mood of a parent? So we'll discuss that tomorrow. And now there's only a few minutes left. Is he on the altar? So we'll ask if there's any questions or comments. And then after discussing Raganuga Bhakti, after discussing Sambandhanuga Raganuga Bhakti, then he'll further explain about Tattat Bhava Ichatmika and following Raganuga in the mood of the Mantris. Yeah. Louder? No, they became, there's two kinds of gopis. Sadhan Siddha gopis, who entered Ras and became Sambhogamika gopis. And that is Yotiki and Ayotiki, those who came as individuals, one or two, and those who came in groups, and they came in the group. That's a good question. Her question is that we hear that a conditioned jiva can only practice Raganuga Bhakti as in the wake of the Manjaris, because if one tries to follow, I'm trying to get my terms, one term merges to another. If one tries to follow Sambhog means kissing, embracing, dancing together. If one tries to practice a sadhana of that in the conditioned state, then lust will surely come. To practice Rupanuga Raganuga Bhajan, that danger is not there in the same way, because he's not imagining himself doing it. He's only meditating from afar that Radharani is engaged in that way. So, how is it then that the Dandakaranya sages, as well as the other group, Yotiki, the Shrutichari gopis, who were previously personified scriptures like the Upanishads, how is it that they were able to practice Raganuga Bhakti in the mood of Sambhog, in the wake or the following of the Sambhogatmika gopis, right? That's the question. Okay. So the answer is that they were already out of conditioned stage. You can't have a conditioned scripture. Scriptures are beyond that. And similarly, the Dandakaranya rishis were already practicing severe austerities and were outside states that. Thank you. So, this is explained in the Bhagavatam. So, so that's why they were not affected unfavorably. But for normal conditioned souls, I can't say. Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that the Upanishads, when they became gopis, who filled the gap? Other souls became personified Vedas, which I don't understand at all. But I think this is explained in the prayers of the personified Vedas. So if somebody would like to check and tell us tomorrow, that would be great. So whether the Dandakaranya sages and the Upanishads were previously conditioned and attained that state, I can't say. Maybe somebody can write to Madhav Maharaj and then tell us. Especially if you ask that we need it for class, then he'll be more inclined to reply. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
I just want to invite everyone to provide on some of your time tomorrow for Hashi. We're leaving here at 3 o'clock. I'm just going to do a short parikram, just for about 45 minutes to an hour, just spreading the transcendental vibration to get more through where you are.
To go where?
Just Harinam.
Where? Will there be book distribution as well?
Yes.
Although the party will be always moving?
The party will be moving, but we'll be taking
it. Okay. With Gorn and Tai?
Yes, definitely. I believe so.
Good. Are you ready, Prabhu?
Yes.
Okay, so tomorrow we'll continue. Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Satyananda Gaur.